Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're going to be in the book of Job today. So if you go to toward the middle of the scriptures, find Psalms, turn left, you'll find Job 37. I will pray, read through this devotionally, taking some pauses, give some applicational thoughts at the end, and then pray again. And I encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Job and what we can learn about you in particular and about ourselves in relationship with you. And I pray that you would teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 37. We're still near the end here of friends giving their speeches. At this, my heart pounds and leaps from its place. Listen, listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, "Fall on the earth," and to the rain shower, "Be a mighty downpour," so that everyone he has made may know his work. He stops all people from their labor. The animals take cover. They remain in their dens. The tempest comes out from its chamber. The cold from the driving winds. The breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them. At his direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. He brings the clouds to punish people, or to water his earth and show his love. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised, those wonders of him who has perfect knowledge? You who swelter in your clothes when the land lies hushed under the south wind, can you join him in spreading out the skies hard as a mirror of cast bronze? Tell us what we should say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of our darkness. Should he be told that I want to speak? Would anyone ask to be swallowed up? Now, no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the skies, after the wind has swept them clean. Out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness he does not oppress. Therefore people revere him, for does he not have regard for all the wise in heart? All right, so that's the end of chapter 37. And again, these words that come from other people, other than Job, are true about God. And our smallness and his greatness and the picturesque language here, would be good just stand alone talking about God. However, it's in the context of accusing Job of sin, which is wrong. And trying to make Job feel like since bad things are happening in his life, it must be because he has unconfessed sin. So now this brings us to God speaking. Obviously, all the words before this from Job, from his friends, God spoke near the beginning. And now he speaks again, chapter 38. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.' Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by its edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. I'll just pause there to say, obviously, as God is talking, he's talking to Job now and asking these rhetorical questions. The answers are obvious. He's setting himself high above Job and reminding Job that it is God and God alone who orders his creation and knows all of these things and is sovereign. Verse 19, what is the way to the abode of light, and where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path to the thunderstorm? To water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert? To satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens, when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons, or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with the flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? Who gives the ibis wisdom, or gives the rooster understanding? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in a thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cries out to God and wander about for lack of food? It's the end of chapter 38 and the end of our reading for today. Well, for me, chapter 38, beginning these words of the Lord, are very significant. As I'm reading him asking these rhetorical questions to Job, you know, it's obvious he's saying, Job, you have no reason to question me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, I mean, all these questions he asks him about creation and God's control over everything, over the weather, over the constellations, the stars, everything. And, you know, he's basically saying, Job, you have no reason to question my decisions, what I allow in your life. You haven't been around. You're not in charge of any of it. And of course, then that means God says that to everyone. And that means God says that to me. And my application for me is clear. I believe in God. I believe these things are written about him. I trust in him. And yet, so often, I question. Because there's something I don't like. There's something going on in the world, in my life, in ministry that I don't like. I want it to be different. I want to change it. And I hear God saying to me, Greg, what are you doing? I'm the creator. I've got your life. I've got this thing. I'm in control. Well, read scripture. Who's in control of people's hearts? Who's in control of everything? It's me, Greg. So you do your thing. You do the thing that I've asked you to do. Worship me and follow me. And trust me, I'll take care of it. Because this glorifies me, even if you can't see it yet. Even in your suffering. Oh, so that's where I'm taking today. Just a full trust in God. Praising him for who he is as he's revealed himself here. And that he's in control. I will not speak against him. Father, thank you for your word. and for your words to Job, because those are words to me. I am sorry, and I confess, when I have done anything that would, in a sense, question you and your wisdom, because, Father, you are the one and only God. You are the creator of all. You have control over everything, and you use everything to accomplish your purposes, including in my life, which seems so insignificant. And when there's difficulty, and when there's questions and doubts and struggles and pain and suffering, I can still trust you, and I must trust you. So, Father, I will trust you today. I will praise you today for who you are. You're so far high above me. I will trust you in whatever you're doing in my life and in the world and the lives of my loved ones. I will not question you today. I will praise you. I will trust you. I will believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen.